have a sheet that says 12 Ways to Help Your Prayer Life, Part 2. And I hope you have a pen, can write these down. Isn't it wonderful, the promises of prayer? I mean, just think of Jeremiah 33:3. Jesus, God invites us and says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." What a promise. And it's not just for a few. It's for everybody. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee my great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now turn to the book of Psalm, chapter number 66 and verse 18 to start with tonight. If you missed last Sunday or last Wednesday, we started with the first six ways to help your prayer life, and then we'll do numbers 7 through 12 tonight. 12 ways to help your particular prayer life. And so you got to be humble now and honest. I always tell people, be humble, be brutally honest with yourself. How is your prayer life? How is your prayer life? If everyone prayed like you, how would the church be doing? How would the country be doing? How would God's work be doing? Rate yourself. Judge yourself. How is your prayer life? Well, probably can improve for most of us. And these are ways to improve it. And so we went through six last week, and they are reviewed at the top. Number one, accuracy. If we pray accurately, the Bible says if we ask amiss, James 4:3, we're not going to get anything. But 1 John 5:14 says if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions we've desired. So pray accurately. How do you do that? By becoming familiar with God and his word. Now that takes time. Some of you are just getting started. But the more you know about God, the more you know about his word, the more you'll know how he thinks, and you can pray accurately. Number two, forgiveness. There's no wiggle room here. Everybody on this earth has suffered some kind of an injustice from another human being. You're not unique. Everybody has suffered some injustice from another human being. Right there, God is watching you and God is watching me whether we will forgive them. It's nothing new with you. So don't get bitter. Don't get angry. Whatever you've been through. And some of you have been through horrible things, some not so bad. But still, all of us have got to forgive sometime. And that will help your prayer life. There's the verses. We're not going to review that. Patience, number three. Some prayers just take time. Some prayers just take time, just as some requests, maybe with your dad growing up. If you said, "Hey, Dad, I'd like a new bike," he didn't say, "Okay," and drop everything he's doing, go get you a new bike. No, the first time he asked you, he just kind of stared blankly out into outer space like he didn't even hear a word you're saying. But if you ask over and over and over and over and over again, then he says, "Well, I think he's pretty serious about this, and Christmas is coming up, and we'll see what we can do." So patience, faith. Number four, from last week, we must believe. It insults God. It offends God when we think he's so tiny and so puny, he can't answer our prayers. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. And so we need, if we know something's God's will, we should ask believing. Number five, attention. We need to pay attention to the word of the Lord as he's speaking to us. Because in its simplicity, when you read the Bible, God's speaking to you. When you pray, you're speaking to God. That's the simplicity of communion. That's basically the simplest way to explain having communion with God. You read the word of God, he speaks to you. Pay attention when you're reading. Pay attention to preaching. Pay attention to teaching. Yes, God speaks through preaching and teaching. God speaks through maybe elderly, mature Christians. Listen to what God is saying. And as God sees you paying attention to what he's saying, then when you pray to him, he'll pay attention to what you're saying. And you can read that in Proverbs 1. That was last week. Fervency, number 6. Ho-hum prayers won't get answers. We should put energy into it. Put some energy into your prayer life. and pray fervently. Let's go on. Number seven, cleansing. Write down the word cleansing now, something new. Look here in Psalm 66, and we can see how being clean can help our prayer lives. What does that mean? It says this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Notice that there in Psalm 66, 18. That doesn't mean if you have sin. It means if you regard iniquity in your heart. That means if you got a particular pet sin that you really don't think is that bad, the Lord will not hear me. Doesn't mean if you're struggling with something or you have some addiction or some sin like the writer to Hebrews said, which doth so easily beset us. Probably all of us have something we're struggling with. We're not talking about a struggling person here. We're talking about the person who says, there's nothing wrong with this. And they begin to justify and they begin to have regard for that iniquity in their heart. The Bible says here in verse 18, the Lord will not hear me. So it will help your prayer life to reverse that and to be a good repenter, be a good confessor, be a good forsaker of that sin. And David went on in the next verse and said, but verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. So David said, I know if I regard iniquity in my heart, God's not going to hear me, but God has heard me. And David wasn't perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But this is talking about when we get to that point where we say, there's nothing wrong with this anymore. This is 2021. What do you think this is, the Dark Ages? And we try to justify something. And you don't want to be doing that now. We shouldn't be getting used to this culture. Another verse you see down here is Isaiah 59:2 on your notes. I'll read it. Don't turn there. It says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So again, iniquity, sin can be a hindrance to our prayer. And we don't want that. And so we want to confess. Confess right away. Don't wait till the end of the day. Just stop what you're doing and stop what I'm doing. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have thought that about that other person, or I shouldn't have done this, shouldn't have said that from my mouth, or shouldn't have participated in this activity. Please forgive me, Lord. Help me. And God will be merciful and will help us. Micah 3, verse 4 says, then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. So behave. Yeah, that's my parents used to say. Nowadays we say, we send the kids off and say, have fun. Whenever I went somewhere, my parents said, you better behave. It was different back then. It was different. You know, nowadays you say, have fun. They're going to have fun, man, all right. Who knows what they're going to get involved in. But boy, that's what I heard growing up when I went to, I'm going to my friends, you better behave. You better behave. God expects us to behave, or Micah 3 and verse 4 says here, it'll affect our prayers. And so cleansing, come clean before God, that'll help our prayer lives. Number 8 is marriage. Number 8 is marriage. That doesn't mean get married if you're single, and that'll help your marriage. No, I'm talking to married people only. Here under number 8, 1 Peter 3 and verse 7 says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. All right, so marriage, for those of you that are married, especially you men, this verse is specifically to men, although I'm sure it would help if a lady embraced her roles and read the scriptures and says this is what God expects of a wife, and she tries to fulfill that, that will help her prayer life. But this is especially to men right here. And it says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. So don't get married till you've studied marriage. All right? Don't get married till you've studied marriage. Get some premarital counseling or premarital courses or something that you can get through so that at least the basics, you know what you're in for. It can be complex sometimes, marriages, and you need to study marriage. Dwell with them according to knowledge. What knowledge? The Bible. The Bible's the best book written ever on marriage. And doctrines, principles, and types. Christ is a picture of the husband. The church is a picture of the bride. And there's so much on marriage. And so men, we have to know what the Bible says. Give honor to your wife. It doesn't say make her a doormat where you wipe your feet on every day and you step on her and she's some kind of a slave girl or waitress or something that you demand around to get your coffee and treat her like garbage. God's going to say, don't talk to me. That's what he's going to say. He says that your prayers be not hindered. This word hindered is a Greek word which is translated hewn down in Matthew 3 and verse 10 when it's talking about a tree. It's talking about a tree being hewn down. It's cut down. It tips over. And the word hindered here, I mean, your prayers will be hindered. It'll be hewn down. Be cut off. Work on your marriage. If it's bad tonight, you got to work on it. Forget about working on your prayer life. Work on your marriage. Work on your marriage. And have the best biblical marriage you possibly can, and it will help your prayer life. Embrace your role as a husband. And I don't know, you know, what your husband's or what your marriage is like, because we can be really good actors in church and in public. But God's watching us at home. God's watching us when we are alone. And this was a verse that the Lord drove deeply into my heart at the beginning of my marriage 42 years ago. And as God was leading towards the ministry, I just know. He said to me, he said, look, if you're going to be in the ministry, if you're going to have any kind of fruit at all in the ministry, you've got to pray. And if you're going to pray, you better have a good marriage. You better treat your wife right. And so I set about to study as much as I could about that and tried to embrace my role and to focus more on my role than hers and what God wants me to do. And so those of you that are married men, especially tonight, you know, don't be proud. Don't think you're God's gift to women. Of course I'm a good husband. That kind of a stuff. But ask yourself, hey, are you getting your prayers answered? Are you getting fruit in your life? Are things happening sometimes that are just unexplainable? Miraculous, divine, supernatural, fruitful, lasting? Well, if not, maybe inspect your marriage again. There's a marriage conference next week. You can go up there to Lighthouse Baptist, Friday and Saturday. Jenkins are there, the Haglins are there, their wives. It's always good. There's no motels and stuff this year, but we've done that many times, gone to many marriage conferences with a humble spirit and tried to improve. It's helped our prayer life, I believe. 1 John 3:22 tells us now, Numbers 9 and 10. If you want to turn there with me, a little book towards the back of your Bible, 1 John, just a few books before Revelation. 1 John 3, verse 22 is a great verse on prayer, and we find help in this verse for our prayer lives. It says two things, and whatsoever we ask, that's prayer, we receive of him, that's the answer to prayer. Because, number one, we keep his commandments. And number two, do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So number nine is obedience. Write that in. And number ten is pleasing God. Comes from the same verse, 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments. That is obedience. Obedience. I wrote down on the back of my notes 14 times in the New Testament where it tells us to keep his commandments. Keep his commandments. Keep his commandments. Over and over again, 14 times it says keep his commandments. Because that's kind of almost strange doctrine to some Christians these days. You start talking like that and they say, well, we're not under the law, but we're under grace. Well, this is not talking about the law of Moses. This is talking about the law of Christ. And the first time it's mentioned is in John 14, verse 15, where Jesus says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And so obedience is an evidence that somebody loves the Lord. In the same chapter, verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So we need to keep his commandments and God will love us. Verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. But verse 24 says, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you heard is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. And so obedience to Christ, obedience to Christ. Please recognize there is a great difference between the law of Moses and the law of Christ. Some believe that Christ has given us, through his words as well as those of his apostles, over 200 commandments to obey in the New Testament. We cannot do that without his help, but by the power of the Holy Ghost, we can, and his commandments are not grievous. They're not so hard we can't obey. And when we love somebody, obedience is easy. It's easy when you love somebody to obey them. Sometimes you see that in sports analogies where a team really gets behind the coach. They just love the coach, and whatever the coach says, that's what they do. And but boy, that team falls apart. That has lost its love and respect for the coach. We need to understand that there is a law that we are under. This is not on your notes, but after number 9 there, I would encourage you to write down this verse, 1 Corinthians 9:21. 1 Corinthians 9:21. I will read it for you. Paul talks about his witnessing methods, and he says, to them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. And so, being under the law to Christ, not and under the law to Moses, you know, keeping the Sabbath and all those other things, sacrificial laws and civil laws that Israel had, and but under the law to Christ. Christ gave us commandments 15 times. As I mentioned, I found verses where it says, keep his commandments. Keep his commandments. Keep his commandments. And so we are expected to obey the Lord. And that's what this verse says right here. 1 John 3 and verse number 22. We are to obey the Lord. Now what does the rest of the verse say? In 1 John chapter number 3, verse 22, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So this is a great verse on prayer. If you're a new student to prayer, you might want to memorize this verse. You might want to memorize this. We need to obey. That will help your prayer life. Let's say a father has two boys. The one boy always obeys what he asks him to do. The other boy always disobeys and rebels against his father's authority. Who do you think the father is going to give more to? Who do you think he's going to maybe leave an inheritance to, or maybe do special things for, or listen to his requests? I mean, it's common sense, right? I've known some parents who've taken certain children totally out of their will. Rightfully so. God does the same thing. Study inheritance in the New Testament. Some are going to receive an inheritance that'll go to heaven. Some are not going to receive an inheritance that go to heaven. Study that out. I did a whole series once called The Forfeiture of Our Inheritance and ways that a person can give up their inheritance. And so it's the same in the spiritual realm. There are children in God's family who obey him, who obey his will. God says, I want you to do this with their life. And they say, yes, Lord. This one says, no way. I'm going to do what I want with my life. I'm going to do what I want with my time. I'm going to do what I want with my money. Well, I mean, who do you think God would run to the aid of more when it comes to prayer? The person who's obedient. The person who's obedient. But there's a second part to this verse, and that's pleasing God. On the farm growing up, I was always obedient to my father. I cannot think of one time whenever I was disobedient to my father when he asked me to do something. And boy, did we work. But I wasn't always pleasing to him. All right. In fact, sometimes I made sure by my face he knew I didn't want to do this. And I wasn't pleasing to him all the time. But I was obedient. But boy, it would have been better if I had been pleasing to him. Of course, I didn't have the insight back then. I just thought I was a slave, you know, working on the farm. And, you know, every Saturday morning without exception, we shoveled manure. We cleaned the chicken coops. We cleaned the cow pen. If we had a horse, we cleaned him, and then the pig pens. Now, my dad said, we were always like, you know, we weren't that pleasing to Dad those days, you know. Well, how come our neighbors get to stay in every Saturday and watch cartoons? You know, that kind of stuff. So my dad said, well, listen, you don't have to do this. You can just do it next week. See, the problem was, though, next week it wasn't this deep. Next week it was this deep. And so we learned from experience. Do it every week. So we didn't always please him, though. We didn't always have the right spirit about us. But boy, God will answer the prayers of any man or woman who obeys him and has the right spirit. And they say, I know this is what is best for me if I do this. Now, as life went on, I realized that I was the blessed child. And the spoiled kids in town, they didn't know how to make it in life. Their parents wrecked their character. Their parents didn't give them the discipline to work hard and save, you know, and those types of things. And the ones that I was envying end up being train wrecks, some of them. Train wrecks. Just a mess of a human being because they were not prepared for life. If I'd have known that back then, I'd have been more pleasing to my father. If I'd have understood, man, this is good character training right here. So, but we can do that spiritually. Obey him and please him. Well, we got to go on here. Number 11 is mercy. Being a merciful human being, which this kind of corresponds to number 2, being forgiving, but being a merciful human being is a way to help your prayer life. I'm going to read the verse. It's Proverbs chapter number 21 and verse 13 on your notes. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 13, as soon as I find the book. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself but shall not be heard. Okay, so just what? Simply reverse that truth now. He that hears the cry of the poor and tries to help them, he will hear. God will hear that person's cry, because there's coming a day when you're going to cry. It happens to all of us. Every one of us gets in situations where we're going to be the one crying out to God. And if God has seen that we have been the type who's helped the other person who's crying out for help, God will help us. Blessed are the merciful, for, how's the rest of it? They shall see God, or what? For they shall obtain mercy. Amen. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Jesus said in the Beatitudes. So let's be merciful to people, and be careful about this. I don't know about you, but my mind immediately goes into a mode of like, well, they made their bed, they should lie in it. It's not my fault they're in that situation. You know, if they hadn't done this, and if I'm not careful, I can justify not helping anybody. But there were times that when I've done dumb things, and there were consequences for it. So be careful about that. Jesus said, you have the poor with you always. And there are people around us who are poor. And we need to be careful that we do not explain every situation away, because God's watching us. God is watching us. Yeah, and sometimes you get used when you help these people. You really do. But again, God's watching us. And sometimes maybe the benevolence you give them, some cash or something like this. I gave a kid a car one time, and he wrecked it in 6 months. And I saw him speeding down the road and going around curves almost sideways with it and mistreating it. And it was a car that I had babied for a long time. And I had come into another car, and he was a young man. He's about 19, and he just destroyed the thing in 6 months. Oh, well, I did the right thing at the time. By helping them out. And they remember those things too, by the way, as they go on through life. And sometimes they come around, get their head on right. One way you and I can help the poor is through faith promise missions giving. Now, some of our missionaries are working around the world in very well-to-do places like Austria or something, and the people are well-to-do. But most of our missionaries are working in areas of the world where they're just around the poor all the time, much poorer than what we know here. And by helping missions giving, think of that. Maybe you haven't gotten involved yet, but there'd be something. It's a way to show mercy. It's a way to show mercy. It's a way to show mercy as they go out there and they help the poor and they help the sick and they clothe the naked and they give drink to the thirsty and feed them and give them health care and dental care and drill water wells for them and build them some lodging. And you know, it might be primitive, but it's something. And God sees us helping them, helping the poor, and God's going to see when you and I have a need. The last thing, number 12, is just labor. Just work at prayer. Colossians 4 and verse 12. Just work at it. Work and work and work and work and work. Don't get discouraged with prayer. You know, if you've gotten lazy, have you ever gotten lazy? I've gotten lazy in prayer. And then I get revived up again by somebody's sermon or something and get back at laboring in prayer, laboring for people, believing God can change people through our prayers, can save souls through our prayers, can meet needs through our prayers, can heal people through our prayers, and to get back to laboring. And this verse I'm going to read combines number 12, labor, with number 6, fervency. It talks about an unknown hero of the faith in Colossians 4 and verse number 12 named Epaphras. And it says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring, point number 12, fervently, point number 6, for you in prayers, what? That ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Boy, this guy was praying. Now, if you read back in chapter 1, guess what he was? A fellow prisoner with Paul. This guy was a minister at the church in Colossae who got thrown in jail. And Paul noticed something about him when he was looking at him. And he wrote to the church at Colossians. And he said, this guy is always laboring fervently for you. I mean, while he's in prison, he's not moping around doing nothing. He's praying for you. He's praying for you. What an example. Do you labor in prayer or have you gotten lazy? Have you gotten lazy? We need to labor in prayer. So, folks, prayer is not automatic. Now, God can be merciful. And if you're here today and say, boy, I don't meet all 12 of these things, just keep praying anyway. God is good. God is merciful. God meets us and answers our prayer when we're at our worst. And you know what that is? The prayer of salvation. The prayer when we just come as a sinner to God and say, God, have mercy on me and save me. He answers that prayer. So don't be discouraged by these 12. Just keep praying. But look at them. Look at these 12 and say, okay, boy, if I could just have the grace to forgive that person who hurt me, that's going to help my prayer life. If I could just be a little bit more fervent, you know, if I could just get my marriage, if I could just love my wife more, God, give me the grace to love her more and strength, whatever it is. Or, Lord, I don't give to missions. I don't even think about the poor. All I think about is myself with my money and time and talents. I'm going to start helping. Anything like this, anything, any of these 12, it's going to help you have a better prayer life. And prayer can be frustrating if we don't know these 12 things. We may just keep hitting a brick wall and say, why don't my prayers get answered? Well, maybe the answer is in one of these 12 points that we have studied the last 2 weeks. So a good prayer life can keep us in line. I mean, those 12 things will keep you in line right there. If you want to have a good prayer life and really explore in your short life what God will do for you or what God will do for others through you, then you need to take this seriously. All right, next Wednesday we have a missionary. He'll be here for our midweek service. And so we've spent about 5 weeks now on prayer. I hope it's been of some help to you. And let us close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, it is not designed to discourage us, but it is designed to improve what we all should be doing, and that is praying. And so as we've been in the school of prayer for the last probably 6 Wednesdays, Lord, I just pray your Holy Spirit would help us. Oh, what would it be if everybody in this room improved in prayer, if I improved in prayer? For our church, for our community, for souls, for the sick, for needs, for souls that need to be saved and projects that need to be done and missionaries. If we all improved in prayer, Lord, what a church it would be. Help us, oh God, we ask. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close in singing What a Friend We Have in Jesus. It's a good song about prayer, which is page 317 in your psalm book, 307. I'm sorry, 317. 317. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. And how we need to go in him in prayer. If you can, stand with me. Let's close the service. You can read the prayer list later and pray over it line by line and see what God will do for these people. We need your prayers. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Amen. All right, a lot to pray about here. The Lord bless you as you're dismissed. I hope it'll help your prayer life some. Things we've studied, that would be a blessing all around. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed.